A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 471. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about the Aphrodite inheritance. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, through the power of television, we are travelling to the sunny Mediterranean to look at a BBC show from 1979. 8 50-minute episodes featuring a sort of conspiracy-style crime thriller set on the island of Cyprus, with some lovely sunny scenery for us to look at, and some mysterious locals seem to be playing games with our rather innocent hero, who is abroad and somewhat out of his depth, it seems, on this island that he is trying to wrap up the affairs of his late brother on.
Yes, and in the spoiler alert for the rest of our discussion here, some of the mysterious characters here may be connected to the Greek gods. So there's interesting stuff that is developing about that too.
Absolutely, yeah, fascinating.
So the plot seems to revolve around the discovery of this strange cave which contains these ancient treasures. Our hero, David Collier, is caught up in this because his late brother, Barry Collier, was working with Eric Morrison to steal these artifacts in effect and sell them.
Indeed, and of course that is why the American businessman Hellman is also after these jewels. He's very much keen to get his hands on them and find out what David knows about them. But what are these three strange characters up to? Haralambos, Helene, and Basilius, what are they doing? They're very mysterious. They seem to come and go almost as they please, almost vanishing at the most inconvenient moments, particularly for David when he's trying to explain things to the police and produce evidence for the police.
Yes, it seems to be very inopportune moments where suddenly they're there and working to their own goals that we don't understand. And with the other characters, it seems like the location of this cave is key, because a few people know where it is, but Hellman, who, you know, wants some of the things from there, he doesn't know where it is. So that information becomes important. And these three characters, Haralambos, Helene, and Basilios, are clearly working together. We are introduced to them separately, but they're clearly working together and observing the comings and goings and sort of enjoying what's going on. And we wonder about who they are and how they connect to this stuff and what their motivations are.
Very much so.
And we have this Aphrodite inheritance of the title, and we don't know what that is either.
No, that's right. And I'm going to do a quick note about the names of these three characters, Haralambos, Basilius, Helene. Names with some mythological significance. You don't have to dig, or should I say in this case, excavate too deeply to work out their relations to the Greek gods of legend. And I'll also note, and I'm by far not the first person to note this out. You can read about this on the internet. The villainous American businessman is called Hellman, which may be a nod to the Greek god Hades, it seems. Michael J. Bird might be playing some name games here, it seems.
Yes, I think he enjoyed playing with the names and working with things related to the islands where these these shows were set. Hellman's boat is called the Core with a K, which is the Greek for daughter. So that might be a Persephone reference. So there are lots of things with that. And then our final episode hints at some of the other main characters, and we get some of those ties to mythology really coming in.
Yes. You need to keep a close eye on the faces on some statues, we should say.
Yes.
Now, whenever there's a spin-off or spin-offs from the shows we discuss, we like to cover those if we can, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And with these Mediterranean shows from Michael J. Byrd, Byrd wrote novelizations of them as well. And for this one, and also Who Pays the Ferryman, those novelizations are available as part of the Kindle Unlimited subscription, if you have that. And if you don't have that, they're, I think, £4 in the UK. I think in the US and Canada, it's something like $7 or $8 or $9. So those are available. The novelization of the Aphrodite Inheritance is easy to get a hold of on Kindle.
And I am Kindle Unlimited and have downloaded the Aphrodite Inheritance. And a quick flick through tells me that he, you know, does stick fairly closely to what we see on screen, Brian. Whether there's more details revealed, I shall find out as I read on.
That makes sense. It is the same author.
Now, I'll also say that you can probably find that in paperback if you want hard copy. There are old copies of some of his novelizations out there on the secondhand markets, so you can hunt those down, and they're not expensive either. Now, Michael J. Byrd, very interesting character, because we know he, as well as just writing these shows, he had quite a hand in the production of them. And I think one of the things he is to be applauded for is he's been very keen with his shows on using local composers to get the music right. And he chose, or, you know, the person who did the music for the Aphrodite Inheritance, George Katsonis, a very famous musician on Cyprus, noted for his, particularly for his folk music oratorios, but also who had a long productive relationship working with the Cyprus Broadcasting Company for apparently 35 years. Sadly, no longer with us, but an interesting choice for composer for this show, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And the music really helps to anchor this in Cyprus and give us that feel that this is not a British show about British people in England, that these connections to Cyprus are really quite strong. Some of the music was released on a BBC single and LP and cassette as well in 1979. And there's still some of that on vinyl, is still available secondhand. And there's a Michael J. Byrd fan site where you can find those recordings as well.
And I'll just note, Brian, that the singles of TV theme tunes for the BBC, that was a thing for a while in the 70s and 80s. Quite popular, because I know that I think the theme tune for The Lotus Eaters and possibly for Who Pays the Ferryman were also BBC singles as well.
Yeah, certainly at that time, releases of TV themes and TV soundtracks, that was certainly a thing.
Interesting stuff. So we've teased about some of the comings and goings on the island of Cyprus. We've talked about our spin-offs. I guess it's time to get into our own feelings about the Aphrodite Inheritance, Brian. How would you like to start us off?
Okay, well, talking about things I like about the Aphrodite Inheritance, I will say the cultural connection of it and sort of rooting it in Greece and in Cyprus with the locations and the music and some of the actors. I believe they had some local actors in there. That was beautifully done, and it really made it feel rooted to that place and that culture, and in some ways that time. And I like that.
Yes, it does look great, you know, particularly the location work, which looks fabulous. given us the Mediterranean culture that we were so interested in the 70s and early 80s, you know, as we've talked about the travel boom that was going on, this idea of television as a sort of travelogue program. So yeah, it does look great. We do get some local actors, we get local music, we get this idea of this culture and life going on around these characters. So all of that is great, I think. We've got a cast to talk about. What did you make of all the performances here, Brian?
I thought the performances were good. They were good enough. Certainly the supporting ones, there were some nice ones. We had with that trio of Heleny and Haralambos and Basilios. They were great. And they had that wonderful sense of dipping in and out of things and sort of playing with things. And we get the build up over time. And of course, it does become clear by the end that they are in fact these three Greek gods. But that build up with the three of them, I thought that was very well done, and it was especially strong as a part of this. So there were some good performances, but those were the ones that stood out.
Yeah, Stephen Griff, I'm not familiar with, but I gather he was in at least one of Michael J. Bird's earlier shows. Alexandra Bastido was one of the most beautiful women in the world, is sort of wonderful as the enigmatic Heleny. And then, of course, we've got a Brian Blessed performance. And Brian Blessed as a sort of personification of the god of wine and song, his deep booming voice, his laughter, of course, and also an incredibly physically strong man who carries several cast members at various moments in this story, which is fantastic.
Yes, having him carry David Collier in his arms was quite amusing, but it was, yeah, that those things were well done.
You can't really, you know, it's a very, I would say this is one of the very enjoyable Brian Blessed performances. I had great fun with it.
Yes, and the police inspector also had quite a fun performance in there. It wasn't that varied, but his increasing impatience with David Collier was great. And then his being involved in the final reveal of what's going on, that was good too.
Yes. And an archaeology professor who turns up at the end as well, who seems to be a local actor as well. So that was good. We've got Michael J. Bird's writing to talk about. What did you make of the 8 episodes?
It was good. I found it was a little long, considering that the big reveals were so late. They were basically at the end. And there were a bunch of hints dropped in along the way, and I basically missed most of those. They were not obvious enough for me. So I would have liked either it to be a little shorter or to have it reveal things a little earlier or, you know, be a little more obvious in its hints. So I had sort of mixed feelings, but there was a lot of good stuff in the writing for sure.
And there is Michael J. Bird having fun with some names and various bits and pieces, some odd references to injuries, Haralambos playing a harmonica from time to time is significant, I think, as well. Yeah, it, you know, at times over 8 episodes, you want them to get on with the story, but there's clearly some importance in showing us the scenery as well and just having these characters be on Cyprus, which is interesting. What did you make of the music for the show?
I really like the music. I thought that was done very well. And having this Cypriot composer, I think, was perfect. I think that was something they needed for this, and it was well done.
I do, yeah, I completely agree. I do like this idea that they were choosing local composers for these different shows for the different islands. I really applaud that. So yeah, and then fascinating theme music and some interesting electronic stuff as incidental music. So yeah, great. All round good stuff.
Shall we talk about the negatives a bit?
Yes. What did you have in the not so good column, Brian?
So I found it a little repetitive because you had David Collier getting into yet another awkward scrape and then getting out of it and complaining to the police inspector. And as fun as those police inspector scenes were, we had sort of a lot of, you know, getting away and then getting caught in this situation and then getting away again and getting into another similar, getting caught up in something. So there was a bit much of that reputation. We had not one, but two parties with Greek dancing and music, which, as fun as the travelogue part can be, I think there was a bit much of it.
Right.
It got to be a bit repetitive when, you know, you had those two party sequences that were quite long and involved. We didn't need to have both of those and having them both quite as long as they were.
Yeah.
So there were a number of things about it being repetitive and being a bit long. I thought 8 episodes was long for this story, and the hints at it being tied up in Greek mythology and those three characters being these Greek gods, they weren't clear enough for me. So it was too late when we started getting more things that I could figure out on it, that it was a little long where I was just wondering, who are these people and what's going on?
Yeah. On the subject of dancing, I did think Stephen Griff did a very good job at Greek dancing. I did read an interesting internet review of this show, which said that the lead, Peter McHenry, should not be allowed to dance on screen ever. He is, unfortunately, a very British dancer, it would seem. Which brings me, actually, what did you think of our lead character and the actor who portrayed him?
I thought he was okay. I thought it was a reasonable performance. But if he was going to sort of carry this show and move it forward and keep us interested, I don't think he really did that. And this is part of, with it being a little long, it wasn't carrying the momentum forward. And I was often wondering, you know, well, why doesn't he just wrap up his brother's stuff and leave now? Why does he have to keep staying and keep getting caught up in things? Why can't he just go?
Yeah.
So he was okay. He didn't let it down, but he wasn't giving it the momentum that it needed to get from somewhere. If the momentum was going to come from the lead actor, then we needed someone with the intensity and charisma of someone like James Hazeldine.
Right.
And we didn't have that with Peter McHenry.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good-looking lead. I would personally rather he keeps his shirt on rather than wearing that tank top vest. But there you go. But he is somewhat bland and a bit of a, as I've put in our notes, droopy draws throughout this. He is the least interesting character on this island of Cyprus, it seems.
Yes, I think that's probably true. He's the least interesting character there, and that was something of an issue.
Yeah. I will say that this has made me interested again in Michael J. Bird's Mediterranean quartet of shows, which I seem to be watching in reverse order. We've done Dark Side of the Sun. Now we've done The Aphrodite Inheritance. I have, as it happens, ordered a secondhand copy of the Who Pays the Ferryman. I may have to look at the other one before they disappear off DVD. So I'm watching them in reverse order, Brian.
Very nice.
I should clarify that probably, as far as we know, the first two shows do not have any sort of genre elements. They are straightforward dramas.
Yes, so probably not for British invaders, but interesting work nonetheless.
Indeed.
So yeah, it certainly isn't a bad series. There was a lot to enjoy here, but it was a series that had some issues with it too.
Right. Anything else in the positives or negatives before we move to recommendations?
I think we should move to recommendations. Would you like to start with this one, Eamon?
I will. Thank you, Brian, because I actually had a great time with this show. I really enjoyed The Aphrodite Inheritance. It's unusual for me to find a slower-paced show not have the pacing problems that you've noted with it, Brian. I actually found this quite intriguing and interesting. I would say that Peter McHenry is the least interesting character there, but I had a lot of fun with this one. And as I said, I'm curious to check out Michael J. Bird's other two earlier 1970s shows. Unfortunately, it's £40 for the DVD, so I would say get it before it disappears or go to Cinema Paradiso and rent it, but I will recommend this show. I quite like The Aphrodite Inheritance. What about yourself, Brian?
Yeah, so I did enjoy this, although I struggled a bit as well. So I am going to give this a cautious recommendation because it's an interesting show and there's interesting stuff to see there. I think maybe a reread on a few points on Greek mythology beforehand might have helped. But yeah, interesting stuff. So if this appeals to you and, you know, something that sort of slowly gives you hints about those reveals that come later, then yeah, maybe it would be worth taking a look.
Okay, fascinating stuff. If you remember this show, if you've watched it more recently, then do get in touch and let us know what you thought and whether or not we've got it right on The Aphrodite Inheritance.
Absolutely. So, in summary, The Aphrodite Inheritance introduces us to David Collier, who has just lost his brother early in the show. His brother Barry Collier, who lived on the island of Cyprus, had passed away. So David is there to mourn him, to sort out his affairs, to prepare for the funeral and so on, and gets caught up in some strange things involving this cave full of ancient artifacts that his late brother and another person, Eric Morrison, had discovered and are trying to exploit these artifacts to sell them. Meanwhile, there is this Hellman character, this rich American man who is after Collier and trying to get a hold of some of these artifacts. And then, of course, we have these three more mysterious characters, Haralambos, Helene, and Basilios, who are appearing and helping Collier some of the time and introducing some strange, mysterious things. And we ultimately learn that they are, in fact, three of the Greek gods.
Intriguing. Not a classic, but a fascinating show nonetheless.
Yeah, interesting stuff for sure.
Do please come and join us next time. We are covering a children's show then. It is time to talk about Simon and the Witch from the BBC in 1987. Some fun stuff coming on next time, Brian.
Yes, always fun to dip into the 1980s, and it'll be fun to look at another kids' show like this too, for sure. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group and join in on some conversations. And also, you can follow us and talk to us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, do follow us or join us on Facebook. Tell us what you thought of The Aphrodite Inheritance. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And please find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network. VogNetwork.com is where you need to head. You'll find British Invaders. You'll find other podcasts. You'll find gaming, Twitch streaming, all sorts of stuff happening at the Voice of Geeks. Tell them Brian and Eamon said hello at VogNetwork.com.
Please do. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England saying,
David Collier's alive!